Take your Bibles, if you will, please. I trust you do have your Bible with you. And we want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. The title of the message today is A Parable of Redemption. A story, a parable of redemption. Jeremiah chapter 32. It's a very interesting chapter. Jeremiah, to give you a little background, was thrown in prison. Good godly man, but he made the mistake of preaching the truth. And so King Zedekiah didn't like the truth that he preached to him, and he threw him in prison. And he left him there for quite a period of time while Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, were attacking that city in that area and taking them into captivity. And God told Jeremiah what to say. Jeremiah did it, and he paid the price for it. But he was a man of faith, man of great faith. And you'll see that as we get into this parable of his purchasing some land. He was told to purchase land by God, and God confirmed that for him. Now here's a strange thing. He's in prison, and he knows that the city's going to be completely ransacked, and they're going to be taken captive and be gone for a long time. What are his chances of really buying and owning that land and it being there when he got back? But God assured him that it was going to be there. He was a man of faith. That's why he did what God told him to do. There's so many different messages in this message, I'll have a hard time picking one of them out, but I'll do my best to do that. But all kinds of things that he had here. He prays. When he prays to God, you see in that prayer who God really is. You also see that he's a little bit human, and he's saying, God, help me out here. I don't quite understand this. You know, it's all right to talk to God about your fears. It's all right to bring them to him and say, Lord, I'm a human being, and I need your help. I know what you told me to do, but don't quite understand it. Please help me out with this. And that's the way Jeremiah was. But as he prayed, he glorified God and gave God praise for who he really was and gave him credit for everything he had ever done. He was saying, God, I believe you can do it. Is anything too hard for you? But yet he was asking God, confirm this in me. Make sure that we really know it's going to take place. And of course, there was the problem of what caused all of that, and that was sin. They were offering incense to Baal, sacrifices to Baal, and Molech, another god. Can you believe that the people of God had gotten that far away from God? They were the people of God. We do the same thing in our society today. We offer our children as sacrifices on the altar of education, the altar of materialism, the altar of convenience, the altar of being popular. On and on and on, we as adults do the very same kinds of things. Not only that, they brought all of that into the temple. They weren't just doing it outside of the church. They had brought that mess inside the church. You know, there's a whole lot of that going on today too, where they're trying to bring the world inside the church. We don't need that. Do I hear an amen or two? We don't need to bring the world's ways into the church. And those are different messages. But God shows him there's forgiveness. And we see that in this parable. Look at verse 6. Jeremiah 32 and verse 6. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is Anathoth. That is in Anathoth. For the right of redemption, there's the key word, is thine to buy it. You have the right of redemption. So Hanamel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin. Now the odds of this happening are one in a million or more, that he would want to buy the land, and God would send his first cousin over there and say, hey, I've got some land for sale. We're fixing to go into captivity, but I want you to buy my land. And so he said, buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin. For the right of inheritance is thine. And that, of course, came from the book of Deuteronomy, the old law, in order to keep the land and the property and the family so that no one else would get it. That was one of the laws, the right of redemption. And that's what the whole book of Ruth is about, Ruth and Naomi, in that particular right. And so he said, for the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. And Jeremiah said, then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field of Hanamel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witnesses and weighed him the money in the balances. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, in the sight of Hanamel, mine uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. And I charged Baruch before them, saying, thus saith the Lord God of the host, the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed and this evidence which is open, and put them in the earthen vessel, notice the kind of vessel, that they may continue many days. For thus saith the Lord of the host, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Tremendous, tremendous truths throughout all of this passage, but we'll just have to look at one of those things called the parable of redemption. And we want to think about this land and notice, first of all, as he was told to redeem the field, that this land was really possessed by the enemy. Although his first cousin had it, the enemy was really in charge of everything that was going on during that time. Nebuchadnezzar was very powerful. And they had, over a period of about 18 months, they were besieging the city. During the midst of that, he was thrown into prison. And so God gives this illustration of redemption. Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar being under the power of the enemy. May I suggest to you that that is a type of man in his natural condition. All people everywhere who are unregenerated, unsaved, never been born again, you are under the power and the authority of the enemy, the devil. You are possessed by him whether you really realize it or not. You are of your father, the Bible says, the devil. And he's in control of your life until you're redeemed, until you're born again. Everybody needs a redeemer. Everybody has to be saved. Everybody has to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, God prompts him in this matter of redemption. In verse 6, Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me. That's very important that we understand that it was the word of the Lord. And Jeremiah knew that it was the word of the Lord. He didn't say, I hope it's the word of the Lord, or maybe it's the word of the Lord. There's a good chance it could be the word of the Lord. He said, it is the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord has come to me and spoken to me. And that's why I'm going to do what I'm going to do in redemption. And so we know that the Bible tells us that God, only God, is the author of redemption. Who planned this whole thing? Who before the very foundation of the earth, before the foundation of the world, set in place a plan to redeem mankind? It was God, in his grace and in his mercy, two of the great attributes of a holy and righteous God, in his place he did that. God is the author of redemption, 2 Corinthians 5:19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. Remember, we're all sinners and we all have trespasses. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Folks, we've got a story to tell to the unredeemed, to the unsaved. Our church tells it everywhere. We're telling it this morning, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ is the author of redemption. God is the author of redemption. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You see, he's the author of redemption. The Lord gives us redemption. Now, the Redeemer is Jeremiah in this case. And in this case, Jeremiah voluntarily does what God tells him to do. He voluntarily redeems this land and this property against all odds because of what God had told him. Look in the latter part of verse 8 and then the first part of verse 9. Then he said, I knew that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field of Hamamel, my uncle's son that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. I knew it was the word of God, and I paid for the field. You see, it was a voluntary thing on his part to redeem this property. He didn't have to do it. Nobody forced him to do it. But he knew God's word was that he was to do it. And so he got involved in it, did what God told him to do instead of refusing. Now let me suggest to you that Christ could have refused to die for us on the cross. He could have refused to come to this earth. He thought it not robbery to be equal with the Father, the Bible tells us. So the Father and the Son are co-equal, and they are part of the Trinity just like the Holy Spirit. But he chose voluntarily, Jesus chose. I don't know how the conversation went. I don't know what it was like in heaven. But somehow between the Father and the Son said, I will go. I will be the Redeemer. I will take on a human body. I will be born of a virgin. I will go down there to planet Earth that you and I have made, and I'll be the Redeemer. I volunteer to go, to suffer, to live above sin, to die on the cross of Calvary. I volunteer to do that. I'm glad Jesus did that. The Bible tells us he emptied himself. In the scripture, he says in 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. He chose, he volunteered to come to this earth. He didn't have to do it. When he was on the cross, folks, he could have called 10 million angels. He could have just said, y'all come take me off of this cross. But he didn't do it because he died for you and he died for me. Thank God for the redeeming grace of Jesus, who was willing to suffer, to bleed, and die for us. This, by the way, seemed to be a hopeless redemption. People would look at that and say, how dumb can you be, Jeremiah? How ignorant can you be? You're paying a price for some property, and Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans have already come in. They've taken over the whole property. They are the ones that are in charge. How dumb can you be? This will mean nothing over a period of time. But Jeremiah said, wait a minute, God told me. I have the word of God on this, and I'm going to exercise my faith. And he exercised his faith in the word of God. Jeremiah, how can you ever possess the land even though you make the payment? You're going to be a captive. You're going to be taken out of prison and taken back to Babylon. By the way, the king was taken there, Zedekiah, just exactly like Jeremiah told him it was going to happen. They drug him out of there, put out his eyes, and he died in Babylon. Now, how in the world is this going to come off, Jeremiah? How is it going to happen? There are a lot of people look at the cross like that, with disdain. How is it going to be? I'm sure the people who were around the cross the day that Christ was being crucified and his apostles would say, how's this going to help us? What good is this old rugged cross going to do for us? His dying on the cross. Now our hopes are dashed. He's never going to be king of Israel. But wait a minute, friend. He is king of kings. He is king of Israel. And he will come back against all odds. They looked at the cross and said, no, I don't know how it'll ever happen. How's this going to help us? Friend, if it wasn't for the cross, we'd be lost on our way to hell. It's called the offense of the cross. Don't let anybody don't let anybody put you down because you believe in the cross work of Jesus Christ. Glory in the cross. There's nothing like the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he redeemed it, and thank God that redemption was attested to, and it was accomplished. Look again, verse 9, the latter part, first part of verse 10. And he said, I weighed him, the money, even 7 shekels of silver. Back then they didn't have an amount on the coinage, so they went by weight. And I subscribed the evidence. Watch it here. I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witnesses and weighed him the money in the balances. He said, not only did I redeem it, but I got witnesses to it. I made sure they knew the price was paid. I made sure they saw what was happening. I made sure that it was a matter of record that this redemption price had been paid. Thank God for that and for the truth of it and what he is saying all about it. Now, Jeremiah paid in silver, but the transaction was affirmed and attested to. Christ paid our ransom. You say, how do you know that? How do you know God accepted that? What is the attestation to the fact that God accepted that? Friend, he arose. He came out of the grave. And God said when he raised his son from the grave, I am satisfied with the finished work of my son on the behalf of anybody who will come to him and trust him as Savior. He arose. Buddha didn't come out of the grave and show himself to be alive in a human body, a glorified body. The other leaders of all the other religions of the world did not do that. Only one has ever done that, who arose and came, arose from the dead and came out of the tomb, and that was our Savior Jesus Christ. And the reason he did was his Father said, I accept it. The price is paid. Redemption is satisfied. Sin has been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ paid our ransom, and it was attested by the resurrection. That's the seal. Nobody else has ever done that. No other religious leader has ever done that or ever will do that. Now, witnesses are commissioned to declare the truth. Verses 12 and 13, these witnesses are commissioned to declare the truth. And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto John and Sam and Bill in the sight of Hamamel. I wish their names were that easy to say. Mine uncle's son, my first cousin. And in the presence of witnesses that subscribed to the book of the purchase, before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. He was still in prison. They were observing. And I charged Baruch before them, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts. He goes into it. But what he is telling us here is these witnesses are commissioned to declare the truth. I want you to watch so you can go tell everybody this is true. I want you to experience this so you can go tell everybody exactly what happened. There was redemption. It was paid for. And I want there to be some witness for that. But I'm glad the apostles were those witnesses. They were the ones who witnessed to the fact that Jesus arose. They were the ones who witnessed to the fact that he was alive. Listen, do you think if he was just a religious leader and he had died and they didn't think he really came out of that grave, that those apostles would have died for their faith? They wouldn't have died for their faith. They would have said, no, he didn't come out of that grave. We were fooled. He tricked all of us. We were just following him. We got mesmerized by his personality and some of his trickery and so on and so forth. But oh no, friend, as far as we know, all of the apostles died for the faith as martyrs. They wouldn't die for a dead man. They died for someone who arose. And they attested to it and they saw it. And God let them be there. And they knew all about that. Witnesses are commissioned to do that. By the way, so are we. The Great Commission, we sometimes call it, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And the Lord spake unto them, saying, go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've told you, basically is what he's saying. And lo, if you do that, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. The end of the world, the end of the age. We are given the Great Commission. Have you seen Christ on the cross in your spirit? Have you trusted his finished work? Do you believe he arose? Say amen if you do. You believe he came out of the grave? Amen. Then you and I have the responsibility to go tell others, to let them know that it really did happen. It's a fact of history, folks. If you don't believe that, just look at your calendar. It's a fact of history. Before Christ and A.D., in the year of our Lord, he lived. He was here. He was on the earth. We are to go out and we're to witness the Lord Jesus Christ. The containers of the testimony, look at it in verse 14. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, the evidence of purchase, both which is sealed, this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many years. An earthen vessel. What in the world are you, and what am I but an earthen vessel? The Bible says that God has placed this treasure in earthen vessels. What treasure? What treasure is he talking about? The good news, the gospel, the fact that sinners can be saved and they don't have to go to hell, the fact that Jesus has paid the redeeming price through his shed blood, the fact that all they have to do is believe, really believe. Now, it has to be more than a head knowledge. Has to be more than some kind of intellectual. Oh, I believe in the historical fact Jesus died on the cross. That's good, but that isn't enough. You have to place all of your faith and hope and trust in nothing but the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Not your baptism, not your church membership, not your good works, but your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We have this good news. We can tell others about it. It is in earthen vessels, but we need to take it to the people that they would know the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure, this wonderful treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Go out and share the gospel. Listen, we need to be with Christ reaching lost people. We don't need to play church and just have a social club, my dear friend. We need to be about the business of winning people to Jesus Christ. It is every Christian's responsibility that we would win others to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all part of it. And a theme that we have, Luke 19:10, is about the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Son of Man came to what? To seek and to save that which was lost. If that's why he came, then why has he left you and me here after he's redeemed us and saved us? That we would seek the lost and go after the lost wherever we are. And I'm going to preach more about that tonight, so I'll let that go by for the time being. But I'm telling you that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and God forgive us if we don't give it out. If we don't share it, if we're too proud and too unconcerned and too unmoved and too unstirred about it to give it out, shame on us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have gold. Let's give it out. We have plenty of it. And it's from the fountain that will never run dry, this earthen vessel of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, restoration of the land was God's will. Absolutely the will of Almighty God. Verse 15, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. That's not just anybody, friend. That is one of the greatest titles, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. God said what he said and meant what he meant. Now, he's talking to the Jews primarily. The Jews, that has never happened yet. That has never happened yet. And you say, it'll never happen. It's been too long. Been too many things working against it. It's never going to happen. I've got news for you. It is going to happen. One of these days, The Jews are going to come back and they're going to inhabit that land that was promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David, and those covenants that he made are going to be fulfilled, though it seems like an impossible thing. It's going to happen. Why? It's God's word. And it's God's will. And it will take place. And so it is his will that captivity be returned. Here they are, because of sin and all the bad things they were doing, they were going into captivity. They were under the control of an enemy. But God said, if you'll believe me and trust me, I'm going to bring you back into the land. Jeremiah, buy some property, because you're going to come back someday, and that'll be your property. Get some other folks to buy some property, because they're coming back someday, and that'll be their property. What a glorious reality that is. Captivity is going to return. 1 Timothy 2:4. The Lord Jesus Christ, and I said this, restoration was God's will. Listen to this. Who will have all men to be saved? Who will have all men to be saved and to come in unto the knowledge of the truth? It is God's will that all people be saved. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Friend, he doesn't want you to go to hell if you're not saved. He loves you. It's his will that you believe his promise, that you get saved so you can know you are now on your way to heaven. That is God's will. He has not predestinated some to go to hell and some to go to heaven. It is his will that everybody be saved. And if you're here without Christ today, it's his will that you be saved today. You say, how do you know that? Because he said, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Besides that, it's only good sense to take the opportunity while you have it, because you may not have it by tonight. You may not have it next week. Today is the day to understand God wants you to be saved. So what do we conclude throughout this passage of Scripture that God obviously put in his word for us about Jeremiah and this parable of redemption? And that is that there's only one plan of redemption, and that is through Jesus Christ. That's it. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child. And I like this. And forever I am. Why? Because I've been redeemed. And friend, I don't care what you've done short of that. You have not been redeemed until you get rid of your pride, humble yourself, come to Jesus, and say, I know it's your will for me to be saved. And I want to trust Christ. You've paid the redemptive price. I want to claim my land. I want to claim the property, eternal life, and a home in heaven, and a mansion up there forever and ever. The proof of God's acceptance of that was the resurrection. Christ arose, beloved, and just as surely as he arose, he's coming again. He's alive today, you know that? He's alive today, just as alive as you and I are right here, and he's at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He arose, he's alive, he's real, he's coming back someday. Are you ready to meet Jesus Christ? How did Jeremiah act on all of this? By faith. That was it. What do you have to go on, Jeremiah? God's word. What do I have to go on to tell you how to get to heaven? God's word. Then what do you have to go on now that I've told you? God's word. And God will not turn you away if you'll receive Christ as his Savior. And then I think the message to you and I as Christians, not only a message of faith, trusting God, taking him at his word, but I believe it's a message of our responsibility. Jesus paid the price. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Friends, some of us need to come to the altar today and say, God, I've been remiss. I have not been witnessing like I should. I have not been speaking up for Christ. I hadn't won anybody to Jesus in months, maybe years. I haven't had anybody come to church with me. I haven't brought them down the aisle. I haven't watched them be baptized because I led them to Jesus Christ. Shame on me. God, forgive me. Help me to get back to the place where I, who have this treasure in these earthen vessels, will get it out and not be ashamed of it and tell people how they can go to heaven and understand that they're lost. And if they don't come to know Christ in redemption, they, friend, will die and go to hell and spend eternity separated from God. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. We'll have prayer while God, I believe, is speaking to your heart. And our heads are bowed, and I'm going to ask you as a believer to please just talk to God a little bit and make yourself available to Him as a Christian and say, God, I don't understand everything about this thing about witnessing, but I really want to do it. I really know I should or be disobedient to you. I need to tell others about you, which means I need to live the right kind of life, which means I need to not be ashamed of Christ. God, help me to do what I should do. You need to come and do that. And if you want to be saved, you need to come and receive Christ as your Savior. Father, blessing this invitation, I pray that you would have your will and way. Speak to our hearts. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.